We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't know that it's just a leverage play. I mean, Buffalo actually would make some sense. I mean, the Rams make the most sense. But there's one thing I've learned over the last 4 years about the Bills. I will never rule out anything with them. I remember hearing a rumor that Von Miller was considering the Bills. And, like, I didn't believe it. But then, of course, he signed there. Like, they are always in the mix. And they should be because they are a good team who could add one big final piece. Like, that would make some sense. Now, I don't know how real it is. When Von starts doing some pitching, I think that gets everyone's attention.
All right, that's Ian Rappaport on the Odell Beckham Jr. rumors, I guess, talk. Can it be rumors if you actually actively and outwardly have your star future Hall of Fame defensive end kind of recruiting him?
I don't think it's really even rumors. I think it's we know exactly what everyone is like
right.
theorizing. Right? Like a lot of times you'll see you'll see something on Twitter of, ooh, I've heard that this is happening behind the scenes. This isn't that. We know what's happening. Beckham is posting on Instagram about playing with Von Miller and signing with the Bills. How serious he is, we don't know. But we know enough that they are photoshopping him into Bills uniforms and they're having fun with it. So he has to think that it's at least somewhat feasible. Or else, like, if it was completely... like, no chance I'd ever go there. I don't even think he'd be playing ball with Von on it, right?
Agreed.
He would just not. He wouldn't even give it the time of day. That's not to say he will sign here.
Now,
but I would think he.
There's also
would
an
want
element
to.
Of driving your market up, right? I mean, like, it's not just
sure.
the Bills. I mean, if some team is interested and you're a free agent coming off an ACL and you want to play,
yep.
you want it to be known that teams are interested in you.
Sure.
You want it to be known that players on teams are interested in you. That kind of helps drive up. Your market value, but
although
go ahead.
He's not the one doing it, right?
Right.
Like, it's Von Miller starting it.
And I think it's sincere.
Yeah.
I think Von would love it. He played with him last year.
Yep.
They won a Super Bowl together.
And I think Beckham would love it. From his standpoint, it makes total sense. If he is going to go to a team at this stage, he's not going to make big money. Last
right.
year, he went to the Rams on a veteran minimum deal. And did you see how much money he actually netted from that?
No.
It's like $20,000. Because most of
yes,
it was,
right.
a lot of it was his own fault because he wanted the contract in cryptocurrency.
Oh,
and then the value tanked. So he lost a lot there. Plus, California tax rate is so high that he ended up, he basically played for the Rams for free. But again, he went there. Why? Because he wanted to win and he wanted to be a part of a great offense. Right now, he's got the ACL added to that. So he's not cashing in right now. He's going somewhere for the back half of this season in the playoffs. That's it. So, to me, given that he already was willing to accept a vet minimum deal last year, I have to think it's only about where can he put up the most stats, where can he be a part of the best offense possible, and restore his value. And the Bills have become that team in the league where you want to build up your own value, you come here and play with Josh Allen.
Right. I keep wondering what it would be like from the Bills side. What's that conversation
right.
sound like?
It's way tougher from the Bills side than for Beckham.
Yes.
To me, like, if it's Bills versus Rams, then maybe it becomes a hard decision. But the Bills make total sense from Beckham's side. The flip end, it gets tougher. I think there's good arguments on both sides of whether or not you should do it.
Bovada has odds out literally within the past, like, 10 minutes, Joe, of where Beckham's going to play his first game back. Okay? I'm going to give you these teams. Tell me how these hit you. The Bills are on the list of the top five. They're not number one. You would probably guess who number one is.
The Rams.
Of course. They're his team he's with now, and I think they've been in contact, but nothing appears to be imminent.
The Rams
are the betting favorite.
Okay.
Plus 125.
Okay.
Okay?
Wow, almost even money.
Then at plus 225, the Green Bay Packers.
That makes a lot of sense. He'd be their number one.
They don't have... The problem is, when is he playing? Do we even have any sort of timetable of when this guy is going to play?
Yeah. Nothing...
This is part of the issue I have with, does it make sense for the Bills? I could make every argument yes and every argument no based on, does the culture fit? Look at the roster, and when the heck is he playing?
Mm-hmm. The last I read on that, and it wouldn't be concrete at this point, obviously, was like mid-November.
Right.
So you get.
So you do this move now. Okay, so let's walk through this. Why would the Bills do it now if he wasn't going to play until mid-November? The reason you'd do it now is get him in your building with your doctors to rehab under your watch to get familiar with the offense, get familiar with your teammates, and then when it's go time, it's go time, and we're trying for a Super Bowl. I think that makes total sense. The reason you don't do it now is what if he just doesn't get healthy enough to play? And you bring him in, and what it was a wasted exercise.
Well, at that point, though, I guess what's the downside? It's the same, isn't it?
Whether
you sign him or not, like, if he never shows up, he never shows up. You're doing
never plays, right?
Right. So, I mean, I think he'll get on the field at some point. But you're right. Like, does he stay on the field because he's had injury problems throughout his career? I think part of it would also be you're just trying to keep him away from anyone else in the AFC because this has become such an arms race in the last 6 to 8 months that you might think about how interested is Kansas City. You might be trying to find that out. Do some recon behind the scenes of, are they in it? Because I don't want him beating me in the playoffs. Because if he's healthy, if he gets back healthy, he could be a game changer still. He was taking over the Super Bowl before he got hurt. He was going to be Super Bowl MVP.
Wasn't that the Le'Veon Bell thing a couple years ago? Like, he was, the Bills kind of were in the mix with the Dolphins, and he went to the Chiefs, and it was like,
it
keep
was
him away
some
from,
defense too.
Right, playing some defense to that.
This, to me, is almost on a whole nother level, because he's, one, plays the receiver position, and two, the last time we saw him in the Super Bowl, the first half, he was taking that game over, and he got hurt. He still has that ability when he's healthy. So there would be, I think, some value in Kansas City, who doesn't have a number one right now. Maybe they end up with one of the four guys, hoping Juju or Hardman or someone emerges. They don't have a definitive number one right now. So I don't want to see them have that happen. If he's not going to sign with the Bills, Green Bay, the Rams, keep him over in the NFC.
Well, Kansas City is not on this list. I agree with you. They're not on this top five.
Is there anyone from the AFC?
There is another AFC team as the number three team. Now, on the surface, I would say, okay, for them, you would think he'd fit on the roster, but this is not how they've operated.
I think, Baltimore?
Yes. Because they haven't gone out. They're getting rid of receivers. They want tight ends and running backs. And
that's right.
Right? I mean, but yes, they are the number three team. It's Rams plus 125, Packers plus 225, Ravens plus 275.
They might want to, while it doesn't make sense for what they've done this offseason, remember when they signed Dez Bryant a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Off an injury? Like, they like to seemingly, the Ravens like to go for the one-year vet minimum receiver they just get off the street.
Kind of so, like, let's take a flyer, see if it works.
Yeah, so I think for that reason, I could see it being the Ravens. I don't think he terrifies me, though, on the Ravens.
No.
The same way he would on the Chiefs.
Agreed. He doesn't change the Ravens' offense to make you kind of, oh my God, okay, here we go now.
Right.
Like, they are still who they are.
All of this, by the way, is secondary, I think, to whether or not you should sign him. It's like a bonus, almost. It doesn't, I think, make or break whether you do it. I think you make a good point of, does it make a lot of sense to do it right now? I don't think it makes a lot of sense to do it right now, and I wouldn't guess they do it right now. I think Beckham and any team that would sign him probably wait till the middle portion of the season. Could take the Bills, just as an example, but the Rams could be doing the same thing. Anyone that's interested in him could be doing the same thing. We know you're not playing till November, so we just want to see the first month of our season, first month and a half of our season, what we've got. The Bills might say, we like the idea of signing you, but we know we don't have to do it right now, so we're going to start the year. We're going to take a look at what we've got. How good is Isaiah McKenzie in an expanded role? Mm-hmm. How much can Jamison Crowder give us this year? How how big a step forward does Gabriel Davis take in now a full-time starting position? Because if all that goes well, then we don't want to sign you and have you be on the bench. And Beckham might think the same way. It actually benefits me to see what the team's got before I sign there. He doesn't want to sign with the Bills and then play 25% of the snaps. So from both sides, they might say, we're going to take a look at the first month. If Gabe Davis looks good, but he's not exploding, and McKenzie, there's some inconsistencies there. Crowder isn't, you know, quite the athlete we'd want for that position. If the first month goes by and it's only pretty good, we'll pay you. We'll sign you, and we'll have you be one of our top three receivers with Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs. It might just be, we're interested, unless, again, McKenzie, Davis play so well that, hey man, we don't need you.
And the issue there, though, is if you do that, you do open the door for other teams to come in and get him.
And
he wants to play
and say,
take him before that then.
Finding out quicker that they don't have the receiving talent.
That's exactly right. So what's interesting about these odds, and again, this is just from Bovada, Rams plus 125, Packers plus 225, Ravens plus 275, Joe, then a massive gap down to the Bills at plus 900. Like, they aren't even in the conversation almost with those three teams. And then the fifth team on the list, and I could see this team doing it because it's them, the Dallas Cowboys.
They do need receivers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Gallup is going to miss at least the first 3 weeks of the season. They traded Amari Cooper. And James Washington, who they brought in from Pittsburgh, has a Jones fracture in his foot.
Right.
So they're down to Jalen Tolbert, who's like a third-round rookie, is their number two receiver. And that's a team that likes to throw the football. So, okay, Dallas makes a lot of sense. The thing I keep coming back to with the Bills, though, and why I'd be interested is, even though I like the receiving core they're going into the season with, like, we know they're deep. Shakir is interesting. McKenzie, I think there's more there and a bigger role, and I love that Gabriel Davis is now an expanded role. I keep coming back to, though, first playoff game. What's my best trio? What's the best possible combination I could have on the field? And even if Isaiah McKenzie looks good, or Crowder, same thing. I don't think there's a better receiving trio the Bills could start the playoffs with than Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and Odell Beckham. Beckham and Diggs, by the way, you might think, well, aren't they all outside receivers? Davis, maybe less so than the other two. Diggs and Beckham have great positional flexibility. Take turns almost playing in the slot. Beckham actually had a lot of his production last season coming out of the slot. So that's what I keep coming back to. They're the Super Bowl favorite. It's a Super Bowl or bust type season. And I'm one of the most terrifying passing offenses in football. And I truly believe there's no better receiving trio they could start the playoffs with than Beckham included with Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs. And that's why it's intriguing to me.
They are certainly operating, I think, differently than they normally would because of what you just said in the window. It's why you go out and give Von Miller $20 million a year at the age of 33. And say, we're just trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, this is what this is about now. There is no longer, again, if you asked me 3-4 years ago about Beckham, I'm like, this team ain't doing that. That's not who they are.
There was even a report, right, that the Giants, was it Rappaport?
Yeah. And
the Giants
they,
called
before
about
the
Beckham.
Antonio Brown thing.
Yeah.
And those are like, no
thanks.
So I absolutely agree with that. I think that it's totally a different way to look at it and operate. Speaking of injuries, Mekhi Becton, man. This guy can't catch a break. Out maybe for the season. Like, just these are the reports. At least it's going to be significant or something like that. There's some fear that could happen. That's not the report that he's out for the season, but fear that that could happen. And this is a guy that missed, most of last year. You know, the Jets offensive linemen, they're trying to protect Zach Wilson. And look, the Jets aren't going to factor in the AFC race, but I think it's a significant blow for a team that's trying to do their best to load up around Zach Wilson and figure it all out here.
I'm starting to soften on them a little bit. You know, like the post-draft hype. They added the three first-round picks. They drafted Breece Hall. Like, they're having a nice offseason. Now we're getting closer to the season. I'm just like, yeah, they're the Jets. Right? They're the Jets. Zach Wilson, like, the most important position. I'm hesitating to give Miami credit because of who their quarterback is. The Jets have a quarterback you trust way less than Tua. Like, you might think his ceiling is a lot higher, because I think it is, but you trust him a lot less going into the year. I'm more and more just thinking, oh man, nice offseason, yeah, and they're building it the right way, and they might turn into something, but I can't believe, until he takes a massive step forward, I can't believe that team is competitive with any form of the quarterback play they had last year.
Joe, I'm going to read you the start of a recent team's practice at training camp.
I think I've already read. I think I know what's
okay,
coming.
Okay, good.
Here. Go ahead.
I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for the listeners who haven't heard this yet. You ready? Here we go. This is the first whatever plays. Well, how many plays we got here? Maybe 10 of a certain team's start to training camp practice. I will reveal the team after I read it to you. Play 1, false start. Play 2, stuffed. Play 3, incomplete pass. Play 4, stuffed right at the handoff. Play 5, sack. Play 6, a flat 1 yard would have been blown up if live hitting. Next play, incomplete pass. I don't even remember what number play I'm on. Next play, sack. Next play, a 1 yard pass blown up. Next play, stuffed. Next play, a 5 yard pass. You know who this is.
New England.
The New England Patriots.
Oh, I love it.
Remember last week?
It's
remember
poetry.
Last week
it's poetry.
When I said to you, Joe, I have been hearing out of Patriots camp how bad the offense is. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing that the word disaster came up, that they're trying all this stuff. They're not looking good. This, what I just read you, is from Greg Bedard, who covers the team for the, used to be the Boston Globe, now he's at the Boston Sports Journal. He has since written plenty of stuff at his Twitter feed about it. 3 of 6, interception, scramble, minimal games, killing it in the flats, 3 of 10, 3 sacks of pressure in the next team period, just awful football is what he writes. And then he goes on a podcast, one of the topics is offense completely inept. Joe, this is not one guy. This is what everybody has been saying about Patriots camp.
I wonder how bad it really could get, like once the season gets going. Because this sounds embarrassingly bad. Like how?
Yes.
This is supposed to be the time of year where every team everywhere is getting hype, right? Like everyone's getting, the hype machine is out of control. And here's New England, and it sounds like it's a Tim Tebow comparisons are being made to what's going on with the offense. I wonder how bad it could get, how elementary their offense could look, how inept they could be to move the football. Because at that point, it almost doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you're a bottom 5 offense in the league, you're not going to be competing. And I think that might be where we're headed. How could you have confidence that they're going to be... So what was their formula last year? Their formula last year was second best defense in football, middle of the pack offense, right? And that worked. They made the playoffs. That was their bar. Just reach the playoffs. They got obliterated by the Bills. This year, to reach that same goal, they have to maintain a top defense, which is incredibly hard to do, and they have to be middle of the pack in the offense at least again. Right now, how many offenses in the league do you trust less?
With
the combination of the coaching, and I don't think there's an offensive coach in the league I trust less than Matt Patricia, the receiving group, which is below average, if I'm being kind to what they have, the quarterback is a game manager type quarterback, not someone that's going to elevate everything else around him. Like, what does that equate to? That equates to, I think, one of the worst offenses in football, and I could probably count on one hand the amount of offenses that I would trust less than that one, if any.
71 and 79, Joe.
71 and 79.
Bill Belichick's record all-time as a head coach without Tom Brady as his starting quarterback. He has coached 150 games with any quarterback starting other than Tom Brady. That is a ton of games coached. Most coaches never get that in a career. This guy did it just without Tom Brady, and he's 71 and 79.
That might grow. That at least below 500. The amount of games below 500 this year.
I mean, yeah.
I wonder if they could just flame out completely. Because that's something nobody entertains the possibility of, right? Belichick gets so much credit that, oh, they'll at least be around 500. Like, he is that valuable. What does... I know what it'll sound like around here if this happens. What will it sound like if they win, like, 3 games this season? 4 games this season?
Well, I'll tell you what it'll sound like. A little bit like So, I mean, there's been talk, like, I've seen rumblings from, like, some Patriots media who've said, if this is what's going to happen, why not just take it all the way down? You know what I mean? Like, why not blow it up? Why not start over again? Because it seems like they're trying to middle it.
What is starting over? Right? Starting over Belichick?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. It seems like they're still, they're not super young, right? They're not this, like, super young team.
No. Not at all.
I think that's what it means more about that than the coach. But sure, I think that could be a part of the conversation. Here's Mike Giardi from NFL Network, who has been at Patriots practice. He covers the Patriots. After 2 days off the field, he tweets, the first rep of 11-on-11, left tackle Trent Brown got hit with a false start. That's the one I just told you about. Was sent on a lap. Then he wrote, that foreshadowed another rough day for the offense. Mac Jones completed three passes in the first 11-on-11, threw one away, took a sack, had another throw broken up. No completion. Bills fans are going to love this one. No completion was beyond 10 yards. He said in the second 11-on-11 versus the ones, Mac was sacked two times, shot put at a ball in face of more pressure, and had two incompletions during miscommunication. I mean, if you're not a Bills fan smiling from ear to ear right now, as I read that to you, I don't know what else could get you to do it other than something the Bills actually did great.
I want to see it all fall to pieces.
I mean, amazing. Year. We've talked about this. I am ready to go all in on the Patriots beating them week one and just start, like, they're going to, what we've heard from the Dolphins camp, it's all been pretty positive. It's the hype train, like you talk about. Compared to this, and they're going to Miami week one. Like, I'm like, oh my God, Miami's going to destroy this team the way it sounds.
Their first four games, by the way. So they open at the Dolphins, then they open at the Steelers, and then home Ravens at Green Bay. Three of their first four games are on the road, and their home game is against the Ravens, which I think they'll be an underdog in. That might be up somewhere. 0-4? It's in the window. Isn't it?
It could.
Three road games, one of them's Green Bay, and your home game is Baltimore. That's tough. It's not the most difficult, most challenging we've ever seen, because Pittsburgh is not super daunting, and Miami is, you know,
right,
what they are. So it's not the most daunting in the world, but if they start slow, and that could very well happen given what their camp looks like,
I would
that
tell
season
you
get away from them quickly.
I wish the Bills were playing them earlier now. They don't play until later.
December 1st and January 8th.
Yeah, like they don't play till December 1st. By that time, you never know. Maybe they figure things out. They get things together. The Patriots are notorious, actually, under Belichick, even in Super Bowl runs, to have slow starts. And then just kind of like as the season goes on, they get better because that's what they do. I wish the Bills were playing them in the first 4 weeks because I think from what I've heard here about them, what we've all kind of been reading about them, that would look like maybe what it looked like on Wild Card Weekend last year.
By the way, speaking of not performing, at least in training camp, and offenses not looking good, we just mentioned the Jets. Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, just tweeted, make that 5 sacks in their last 6 dropbacks, including 4 in a row. This division.
Man, I know. We've come a long way, baby, as they say. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, I watched something last night, and I'm pretty into it. Max is into it with me, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a documentary that's out there right now that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't, but we can get into that when we come back at WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Meek deals. Base hit to right field. Here comes Richardson. Here's the throw from Marquez. Richardson is safe. Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Did you have any doubt?
That's one of the great moment calls from Michael Kay when he says, Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality, because that was his whole career, right? Like, you couldn't believe that every single spot this guy was in, he was making these big hits and big plays on defense and things like that. The flip, whatever, just Mr. Clutch. That's who he was. And that's what I started watching last night, which is The Captain. I did not realize it's like a 10-part series, okay? I mean, you got these things.
Everyone's getting these 10-part documentaries.
They get drawn out. There's no doubt about it. But super engaging about, like, it starts off. I know when that game was. It was 2014. And the reason I know that, because they open up the documentary with him in his last game and kind of the very start of it, talking about it. And then, of course, you go back in time. You start off with his early life. You go into high school, him getting drafted. Joe, it's super cool, actually. I like it. Now, Max is a big Yankee fan. He knows who Derek Jeter is. Never really watched him play. He was a year old when he stopped, but he's watched a lot of YouTube videos on it. He is really into it. So we're going to continue watching this. It's like maybe 50 minutes an episode. We've gotten through like one and a half so far. He had to go to bed last night, but or maybe two. Maybe we finished the second one, but either way, I really like it. Now, I know you're not like this huge Yankee fan like I am. Is there, A, would you watch this? Would you be interested? And B, is there someone from a sport like that, maybe baseball or something that, no, not your guy, not your team? Like, I definitely would be interested in that.
I don't think there's...
Do you have to have a vested interest as a rooting fan? And I guess is the answer.
No, I don't think so. If I'm learning something, like I loved the Bartman 30 for 30.
Okay.
Loved it. About the Cubs and all of it.
Have you watched Man in the Arena?
I have not, and I will never watch it. I will not.
Too much scar tissue, though.
I feel like I know what I need to know about Tom Brady. I know there's more that I don't know. I don't want to know it.
Would you watch it if it was on Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Okay. So really, it's personal for you with Brady. It's
yeah,
not
I'm
about
also
your.
Also, more curious about Rodgers. I think Brady
right.
is fake.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, and almost everything he does.
All right.
I think Jeremy had this this point one time where he was on WEEI.
Oh, the laugh.
At the laugh. Like, dude.
I mean, that's famous. That laugh. That's when it all started.
I don't think he's completely all out there. I think he's selling you what he wants you to think of him.
Okay.
Whereas Rodgers, while I don't, you know, I don't support a lot of the things that he puts out there, I'm more curious about him because he just lets it all out and he doesn't care what you think of him. He's out there the other day talking about like certain like medical pills and whatnot that doesn't qualify under the conduct policy, but like spiritual like stuff that he's doing.
The
and
cleansing like, he's talked
the
about.
The cleansing, that's like, what I was reaching for. So again, while I'm like weirded out sometimes by him, maybe is the right way to put it, I'm curious about it. So Rodgers, I think, is more genuine in that way. So I would watch that because I don't feel like I'm being sold an infomercial.
Okay.
The same way I feel like I'm watching a Brady infomercial.
Do you think Jeter's fake?
I wouldn't say Jeter's fake. He strikes me as more reserved, though, than anything. Same thing.
Oh, he is. He is, well, in some ways.
This is what I think about Jeter. I think if there were real interesting stories about, like, his life, like, in New York City, like, growing up as a Yankee and, like, all of that stuff, I don't think we'd ever know about it.
That is the case. And that is part of this point of this documentary is...
To almost prove that there's another layer there, but they won't let you see it?
No. That, like, hey, he had a lot of fun. He was Derek Jeter. He was at the parties. He was the bachelor and the king of New York and the shortstop on the Yankees. But
do we hear the stories?
But you don't, because he was smart enough in how he did it to not let it get out.
But see, if I'm him, that's how I'd want it. If I'm him, that's how I'd want it. But as a viewer, as a consumer, you're not giving me the story I want. But that's as a non-Yankee
fan. So for example, I'll give you an example. I'm not trying to spoil anything. This thing is, he becomes real good friends with Puff Daddy and a lot of the guys in the music industry and the rap world and things like that. And he said, and they were all like, yeah, they're literally like, these guys, they'd be going to different nightclubs every night. Jeter actually rattled off. On Monday it was here. On Tuesday it was here. On Wednesday it was here. And then one time, he gets a call. He's like, hey, we're all hanging out down by this wherever bar, restaurant, club, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's super late. And Jeter says, I got a game tomorrow. I got to go back. Like, I can't do that. Because he really was dedicated to his craft of baseball, just wanting to win. So he decided not to go that night to the club. And that night at that club, there was a shooting. And he said, if we're living in 2022, he said, if I go to the club that night, just that one decision, I could be like, that could change my career forever because I'm there when that happens.
Yeah.
Right? Not even getting shot, being a part of that crowd is what he's talking about, right? He also multiple times references, if I played my career when there were smartphones, I don't know how long my career would have lasted. Like, because he could keep it under wraps then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What, you got something?
Yeah, well, it's just funny you mentioned that, Sal. On episode, I believe it's episode 5 or 6, there's actually like a whole, I think half the episode is dedicated to his media presence and how reporters would always say, you don't go to Derek Jeter to get a quote because he's always the guy where if there's a drama in the clubhouse, he's the guy, well, you got to ask that guy about it. You know, talk to that guy. He was so focused on winning that he just like...
He did. Well, he never wanted to create any controversy. Yeah. He really wanted to win.
That's the thing for me. That's what I'm seeking when I'm looking for a sports
documentary. You want the juicy stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I want the controversy. Like, I want Bartman. I want to know, like, that's a controversy. I want, you know, there's that documentary on, or there's two OJ ones. There's June 17th, 1994, which is just news clips, basically, from that day.
That's the 30 for 30, I believe.
That's the 30 for 30. Yeah. And then there's OJ Made in America.
Right.
Like, that's controversy.
Pretty amazing.
And, like, that's kind of what I'm, even the Jordan documentary, which I wouldn't say was one of my favorites, but I watched it and I liked it. He's a controversial figure, the gambling and the baseball and just like there's a lot there. Jeter and Brady, maybe this is why they're both kind of,
you think
the same
Jeter's
kind of
boring is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think though there's a lot of things there that you probably don't really get unless you watch that might get you to think, okay, he's not as boring as I thought. He just, it never got out that he wasn't boring.
But how much is he even letting out in this? A little, but more than you think. He's still not giving you... It doesn't feel like he's... I don't know because I'm not watching it, but it reads like he's still not giving you the juiciest of the juicy details that you would really want about this guy. Because he would be... Again, I'm not criticizing him for not doing that. He would be smart to not let it out.
Right.
Because he has this aura about him that he doesn't want affected. But I guess it's a certain type of figure that I want to watch and learn more about. And it's more the controversial type than the guy that you've just kind of been the golden boy your whole career. And now I'm just watching it back, basically.
So I'll give you a good story from this documentary. And this, you tell me what you think about, like, okay, that's pretty cool. Or, all right, change your mind. So he's like in his second or third year at the Yankees, playing shortstop. He's already, won. He's rising up. They were kind of playing some. They were playing some of their backup guys late in the year because they were really good, and they could kind of give some guys some rest. There's a ball that falls between him and two outfielders. Okay, David Wells is on the mound. David Wells was a veteran pitcher who had thrown a perfect game. He was on the team. He was very well known. Apparently, David Wells like during the game, when this happens, Joe, kind of turns around, throws his arms like, come on, what are we doing here? Jeter went to him and said, hey,
yeah,
this is a veteran guy. He's like, we don't do that, you know what, around here. We don't act like that around here. Like, he's probably, right? So the story then suddenly turns into people started hearing that they almost fought, which didn't happen. They almost fought. Buster Olney goes to Jeter and says, I heard you almost fought. You challenged David Wells. He's like, well, who told you that? And Buster Olney says, guys who were on the field. So we know what Jeter does? Joe, he called over everybody who was on the field at the time and said, did you say it? Did you say it? Did you say it? Did you say it? And they all said no. And he looks at Buster Olney and goes, you don't have a story. And he walked away. Like, that's, I'm just telling you, like, that's cool stuff. And that shows the dedication and leadership.
Yeah.
In a way, I guess. Unless you think that's jerky.
No. I'd be more likely to watch a 10-part series on Bonds.
Okay. I get it.
I don't know. I'm not a baseball fan, though, also. There might not be many baseball players where I'd be into it. Bonds would be one.
Bonds would be good. McGuire? Because of Sosa?
Yeah, if you did like a combo, like steroid one with like the steroid guys, yep. Roger Clemens, same thing.
I think I might watch one on Nolan Ryan. Like, this dude was just amazing when he pitched. He got in the fight with Robin Ventura and beat the heck out of him when he charged the mound.
There's also a lot of juicy A-Rod stuff.
Yes, there is good controversy A-Rod stuff in the Jeter.
And A-Rod also that does interviews throughout.
Yes. That I'd be there for. A-Rod. I'd be more in on a 10-part documentary about A-Rod, I think.
I'm just getting into the good A-Rod stuff with Jeter. Don't spoil it too much. But yes, there's some stuff about their relationship, and that's pretty good in there.
Okay.
But anyway, so we're watching this last night. Then I kind of turn it off, and I look, and I'm looking at the ESPN app. And suddenly, right there, Unrivaled. Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, yes.
Detroit Red Wings. So Max, he's like, what is that? And I said, well, these two teams, there was a lot of these fights. And he goes, I want to watch some. I'm like, we can at some point. I press play, Joe. I didn't realize 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's long.
2.5 hours for Unrivaled.
Well, I mean, you're watching 15 hours of Jeter.
That's
right. It's only 2.5.
I thought about that. I know. I'm watching it in one set. Yeah, I guess you could pause it.
You could split it up.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. It feels like you can't do that when it's one whole video opposed to episodes. Did you watch?
I haven't watched any of it yet.
So good.
Is it good?
It is.
Have you watched it, the whole thing?
Yep, whole thing.
Did you watch it in one sitting?
No, two. Two settings. I was surprised how into certain stuff they got. Like, they didn't just stick to, well, like, most of it is the Red Wings, Avalanche, the brawls, what started it, Lemieux, all of that. But they get into, like, other aspects of the teams. Like, Quebec moving to Colorado in the first place. Like, they get into a lot of juicy details about that.
Okay.
Forgive me who the Red Wings defenseman is. I can't remember. Got in a car accident after they won the Cup. They get into his story a little bit after the fact, and that was one I didn't know. So I thought Unrivaled was very good. In terms of hockey documentaries, especially ones ESPN has done, they haven't done many. The Gretzky one was great. It was the first 30 for 30 when Gretzky gets traded. And the one they did about the Soviet hockey team that lost to the U.S. in 1980 was really good. But I put this one right up there among the best hockey documentaries I've seen.
803-0550 if you want to jump on board. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will wrap things up here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. More, unless this is new. Someone just pointed out to me more maybe news coming out of Patriots camp and how inept their offense has been. We'll do that when we come back in WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I I made a mistake. I had someone tweeted us, Thomas. He was referring to Jets camp, but he said, speaking of Patriots being a disaster, and then he quote tweeted, thank you, Thomas, somebody, Andy Vasquez. Andy Vasquez covers the Jets for NJ Advanced Media. Here's what Andy writes. Quote, the offensive line does not look good today. Zach Wilson was just sacked four times in a row to end a team drill period. There were so many guys in on each one that it was hard to tell who sacked him. I think it goes back to what you were talking about earlier for some of the Zach Wilson stuff and how many times he was sacked.
Did you hear the music Corey came in with?
I did. What was that?
That was the Edwin Diaz entrance song.
Oh, the entrance. You know, I was going to watch that today. I heard everybody talking about it. I haven't seen this yet.
How do you feel about people on Twitter saying that it tops Mariano Rivera's Enter Sandman?
So I got to see it? Fan. I got to see it. I haven't seen it. Like, the actual music itself, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, it's awesome.
Or Metallica? What are we doing here?
It's the whole crowd getting up and clapping, just like,
no,
oh.
This is it.
It looks like a
this
party.
This is it. This is it.
It's pretty good. I'm not saying it's not good.
By the way,
I might prefer Diaz,
another though. Reason to watch the Jeter doc, you learn they almost traded Mariano Rivera before he became Mariano Rivera. Mm-hmm. It's another reason to watch. You learn those little details.
I can't. Yankees propaganda. I want no part. Want no part of.
Well,
I want it. The same thing like with Brady. I hate you. Leave me alone. I don't want to like
you. Really
you.
Hate him?
Stop convincing me.
You just hate
me.
The Yankees.
It's maybe the thing. The only thing I care about in baseball is that my dislike for the Yankees.
Oh, also, I didn't know this. I didn't know you hated the Yankees. I just thought that you didn't care much about them.
I don't
them.
Even know that I want to graduate to hate.
A fun tidbit about the doc, too, that Sal, I'm sure you've gotten past now, but the Reds were actually the director of scouting for the Reds. They had the pick before the Yankees, was dead set on Jeter, and then the GM of the Reds at the last second said no.
Yes, ooh. And Hal Newhouser, who was the scout for the Astros with the number one pick that year, said, if you do not draft this kid, you'll regret it for like a decade. And because he said, if you don't listen to me, like I should be done in baseball. Guess what? They didn't listen to him, and he literally resigned. And then he was picked like sixth overall. So anyway, it's all part of it. So you're saying
the whole documentary is like, look how smart the Yankees are. I can't. Ugh.
David says the problem I have with Jeter's documentary is if he had the exact same career but played for a team for like Milwaukee or Minnesota, there's no Jeter documentary. David, you are 100% right. There's no denying that. However, David, that is part of the story, that he did it in New York under the bright lights and was still able to do all of that and maintain not being, like Joe said earlier, having all this controversy and stuff. That's literally part of the story.
It does. That's right. I'm not thinking. That's definitely right. It's not a reason to not watch. There are others that I pointed out. I think it maybe goes to show maybe you want to appreciate those or give extra credit to those that are able to kind of have that
right.
that lure anywhere. Like, that's always been a thing with me. Well, LeBron, I guess, was from Cleveland. But, like, if Allen, right? Allen, well, football's different, too. I'm not sure there's a good comparable. I don't know.
Dallas Cowboys, maybe. Back in the 70s, 80s.
Thank you.
Tony Dorsett. Like, it's Cowboys quarterback.
You have this automatic boost.
Tony Romo. I think that would,
you're
that
in
would
commercials,
be
commercials, broadcasts.
That's
all
right. Hey, we got to go. You're going to be back on tomorrow. I'll be out at camp checking in live.
Yep.
And I know you think you're back out at camp on Thursday, right?
I believe so, yes.
All right, so you got Joe coming your way the next 2 days, but I'll still be with him out at camp. The Bills have 2 days left at St. John Fisher College, so we know you're going to tune in. And you're going to keep it right here for Sabres Live. Up next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.